Okay. So, first of all, where and when did you grow up?
Where? Smack over Arkansas.
And when?
When? The dates?
Not the dates, but like the years, roughly.
The years? I graduated from high school in 1954, and I went there. I started first grade there and went through 12th grade, so I was there all my life. We were segregated, of course.
Was your school segregated?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I didn't know anything about segregation until I was a senior in high school in 1954, and I remember there was the Supreme Court that year declared segregation unconstitutional. So you're supposed to be desegregate. The South did not desegregate. That was a big, big problem. They just mm-hmm. didn't. And in my little hometown, well, I went off to college, of course, when I graduated in 54, and I was nursing school. And part of my time, I was at the University of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real shock, kind of, because I was in class with black students. But, I was never, never, never around blacks growing up, never, until I was in college. Just never. And I think about that, and I think how weird that is today. There was the black part of town where the blacks lived, and they were called Negroes then. African American has been around for a long, long years ago, back in the 1700s, but it was never use mm-hmm. until 19. I think Jesse Jackson, if I recall, and was running for president, and he wanted that term used, and it kind of caught on. So it's African Americans, pretty recent. So I grew up calling them Negroes. It was nothing pleasant about it. It was just they were Negroes.
So other than like your schools, where else was like segregation mostly prominent?
Church. Theaters. I sold popcorn in the little theater in Smackover,
mm-hmm.
and it's really kind of emotional, hard for me to say this, but God, where'd that come from? The blacks couldn't come. They could buy a ticket, but they had to go around the corner, around the side of the building, and come in the door and go upstairs to the balcony. And I sold popcorn, and if they wanted popcorn, they pushed the little door open that was behind me. I would sell whatever they wanted. And then, the whiterns all went in that lobby or the popcorn. When I think about it now, that seems just horrible. But, that's what we knew.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about this mistreating or anything. It was just, and I'll have to tell you this. I never grew up racist. I wasn't around blacks, but the first black I ever remember seeing, Emma, was, I probably had seen this woman before. I had my mom's house, I guess the clean house, and she was ironing. And I remember I was very young, maybe 3. I don't have a lot of memory of the thing, except it impacted me. I was running through the house, and I ran into that room where she was ironing. And I remember running in that room, and I remember thinking, I didn't think, oh my gosh, she's a Negro. I didn't know that. At 3, yeah. I just knew she looked different. Because
mm-hmm.
I'd never been around blacks. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
But that's how it was. I mean, I even if I'm telling you that, I can hardly comprehend. And your mom's big mama, your great-grandmother and great-grandfather, my mom and dad, were never racist. I didn't grow up with any of that, so I was never really racist, even though I wasn't around them. And they had the black high school was kind of about 2 miles out of town, and a lot of us white kids would go out there to watch the football games and the bands, and we'd go out and have fun with them and stuff. But I didn't grow up in the little town I grew up in wasn't they weren't mistreated, but they were mistreated by being segregated.
So obviously, like, from then to now, there's just a huge change in such a short amount of time.
Oh, my God. Well, in 1954, they said you couldn't go to St. don't say it yet. It's historical, but in 1957, I was in college. If you ever heard about Little Rock, Arkansas, there were 9 black students decided they were going to go to school because for 3 years, nothing had been done, nothing about segregation in the South. And the governor at that time of Arkansas called out the National Guard and would not let them enter the school. I mean, it was that bad. And then they didn't get into school for a while. They kept fighting, and finally they did get into school. But the racial tension was bad, 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 bad. I don't remember much of it because my little hometown was kind of, it was mostly in the larger cities it was bad. And of course, you know, in Alabama and stuff.
Yeah.
It was not good. It was not good. You know, and I think about it now and it's like, God, did I really live in that time where I went around, I wasn't around a black? You can't even comprehend that.
No, I can't. Like, I go into my classes and I just see people of, like, all different, like, colors, nationalities, like, mixtures of, like, different, like, just cultures. And especially, I think, in Loudoun County, we're a very, very diverse place. And it's just, I just can't even comprehend that.
No, you can't imagine not being that diverse. I did some mediation in Dallas for several years, and we went into the schools and tried to teach diversity and stuff, you know, with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with a black lady I just adored, and she told, she'd tell those kids, said, don't go in there.
Can you repeat what she said? It kind of cut out.
It was said to a black person when a white person will say, I'm not racist. I don't see black or, you know, I don't see black or white. I just see a person, which is true. But she said that blacks want to be recognized for being black, their culture, but still respected and treated the same. Just to say, I don't see a black person is kind of, think about it, that means you don't see them.
Yeah.
But I know people say that mean well. They're saying there, I'm not racist. But, oh my God, the racism was horrible. Horrible, horrible.
So what were kind of like some of the first accounts that you saw, like, with the...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What are some of the first accounts... What are some of, like, first accounts that you have of seeing, like, racism where you grew up?
Well, there would be little remarks made, you know, like when I would open the door to help a black, there might be a white standing there, and they'd be really, really nasty about me. Well, that black person before them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It
just could be almost cruel. And this black person, he wanted that black person to hear them. And I remember at the time that I didn't like that, but... You know, I was young, I didn't know. It was just, it's hard to explain the time. It was just, I don't know, it's the way it was. And I don't remember, I was kind of not racist, so I remember not liking it. But nobody stood up as an advocate for the blacks. You just didn't. I mean, you'd hear those things and you wouldn't say them and you wouldn't like them maybe, but we just be like, we started later, and that was good that they did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But racism is alive and well.
So, just how do you describe in just, like, you know, 50 years seeing from, like, not being able to hold a door for a black person without being, like, judged and scrutinized to having a black president?
I couldn't understand you. Kind of repeat the question, maybe.
So, like, how do you describe going, just, like, the change in such a short amount of time from, you know, like you said, not being able to hold the door even for a black person to having a black president?
I think it's pretty amazing. I think it's wonderful that we've come this far. We've got a way to go, but I think we've come so far. And sometimes I think if you grew up like I did, and a lot of blacks, you know, maybe we don't get credit for how far we have come. Mm-hmm. And I know we have a long way to go. I know that. And racism is alive and well. People are still racist. But I honestly think sometimes we don't give credit to how far we have come. We want us to the everybody's racist mode.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's true. But I'm amazed at how far we have come. I can tell you that there would not have been a black president when I grew up.
Of course not.
And they were very mistreated. Now, I wasn't a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew about it, didn't like it at the time. And I was young. I was very young.
Yeah.
But blacks really mistreated. And a lot of what I saw mainly was verbal abuse of them. You know, I would hear that and see that. I never saw them beat up or anything like that.
So, like you say, you're like emphasizing a lot how like it, you knew it was wrong, but like it was just kind of part of your life, you know, like it was just how it was just the social norm. Do you think there's anything nowadays that is a social norm, but could be seen as like a huge issue later and like something that we could look back on, like think of it like as just shocking and repulsive to think that we did those things.
In your time, this era?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I think. well, and you'll have to admit, the time is not that good right now. People are so quick to criticize, you know, and that happened back then. People are still so quick to put down other races, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of profile people, you know, like the Asians, the blacks. We all get, you know, tall Irish redheads. No. Just kidding. And, you know, I think it's ignorance. But people still do it. They still do it. And I think the blacks are justified many times when they stand up against racism. But I do think we have come so far. It's amazing. I don't know how you would stop that. You got any ideas about it?
No, but I bet some people smarter than me do.
You weren't raised to do that.
Mm-mm.
And you don't do it. But there's still people that do it. There's people, as you know, that are really unkind about African Americans. Even today, when I'm talking to you, we've come so far, so far. And I just, this lifetime, or even your children, I don't know. I hope, don't ever get rid of it. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. But I think a lot of it is, you know, we go back to saying it's in the home, but I do think a lot of this racism is started in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the problem today. That not you, but there are kids, and you know some of them that you wonder where did that come from. It had to come from, they've heard it somewhere to go act like that. So mm-hmm. I think that if I'd say anything about today, that would be the problem. And you know, it's not going to change unless the heart changes.
I like that.
It's not, no. And I think that's going to take a long, long time and may never happen. I hope so. But I was talking about that the other night with a friend, and I, you know, we were talking about racism. And I said, well, it's got to start with the heart. People got to say, you know, you're Mimi. I think everybody's got the cross of Jesus on their forehead. I don't care the color, you know. I think the worst, meanest terrorist in the world has a cross of Jesus on his head, but people don't turn to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know me. I think that's some of them.